On this week's show,
I talk about Far Cry 5 and how I find God down the end of a barrel.
I once was lost, but now I'm found.
And we get Lost in Space.
Are you going to put an effect on that one?
Yes.
Have you ever seen anyone fail this hard? It's Bully Hunters that was on Twitch later this week.
Bully Hunters will get these harassers where it hurts them the most, by beating bullies at their own game.
Stay tuned. It's a classic.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, gamers, geeks alike, space aliens that look like robots, people lost in space, members of religious cults that hide out in Montana, and people who attempt to track down bullies online and fail miserably. It's this week's Monkey Nut Bunch podcast. And as promised, Keith's with me.
Hey! Hello!
Unfortunately, Nigel isn't. He's got some issues on at the moment, and he'll join us when he can get back on online. So hopefully next week we'll have the effervescent Nigel.
The Nige.
Okay, so this week we'll be talking about Netflix's relaunch or remake or whatever you want to call it of Lost in Space. I want to talk a bit about Far Cry 5 to Keith because we haven't had a chat about it because he should buy it. And then I want to talk about what can only be described as an epic fail of a Twitch stream called Bully Hunters. But I'll save that for later. So let's start off with Lost in Space. So
yes,
we got Lost in Space. And it started off and kind of started liking all the characters for the first third of it. And then something happened in the second third of it. And I thought they were all bastards, with the exception of Penny, Will, and the dad. Yeah, the mum and Judy, the oldest daughter, all of a sudden became, how can I put it? Obnoxious. Sorry?
Annoying.
Annoying, obnoxious. It was annoying, but I found it really annoying because I was actually warming to the characters and then they ruined them for me. And I'm like, why the fuck did you do that? Seriously, why did you do that? I know you've got to have conflict and stuff in it, but at the moment, you've got enough conflict with just trying to survive. So why did you do that? So Toby Stevens plays the dad. God, I can't remember his name. Commander Robinson. And we didn't get introduced to West until the second episode, and the same with Dr. Smith for the second episode. Now, I remember watching Lost in Space on Sunday when I was like 8.
Yeah.
I didn't think much of it as a kid. I thought it was a bit shit, I'll be frank. Yeah.
Well, only because it was very, very sort of, they looked like sets most of the time. They looked like they were in a studio, and it was very, very of its era.
I'll be honest with you, the production never really bothers me. It's how you deal with things. It's like, look at the old Doctor Who's production on like Sylvester McCoy's era as Doctor Who.
Oh, Christ.
It's fucking terrible. He had like zero budget. Apparently, Red Dwarf, the comedy, which was half hour long and 6 episodes, opposed to 12 episodes of 12 episodes of half an hour long of 3 stories at 4 episodes a story for Doctor Who, had less budget.
Yeah.
So twice as long and half a budget. Yeah. And it's like the one Remembrance of the Daleks. They've got 1980s style bollards in the road, which they couldn't cut out, which is really annoying.
I understand why Penny and Mrs. Robinson might piss you off. Penny slightly redeems herself later on in the episodes because she starts suffering from PTSD, so you sympathize with her more. The biggest things that bug me about this is its cliches. I wanted to go back to a beginning, a middle, and an end kind of storytelling. I'm fed up with flashbacks. I'm done with flashbacks. Do you know what I mean? It's been done. It's been done in so many things before. Why can't we just have the story starts? They get shipwrecked. the story continues. All this bollocks about fucking flashbacks. Lost did it. Everything's done it. It's now, been this, done this, to fucking death.
Hold on. I'm worried that this is the TV show Lost, but in space.
Yes.
Not Lost in Space, the TV show, but the TV show from the 2000s, Lost.
And for fuck's sake, Dr. Smith was a man. We've done the whole fucking changing the sex thing. And she's shit. And her name is Parker Posey. What fucking kind of name is Parker Posey? I'm sorry. Anybody who's called Parky Posey should not be doing anything. Shouldn't even get out of bed in the morning. Sorry.
It does feel like the casting director has been hit around the head with a diversity stick.
It's not even that. It's just like, we're not doing anything new. Let's do flashback storytelling. No, it's old. Let's go back to the traditional. Cloud computing did. We're going back to the 1970s computer model, but we're going to call it something new and flashy, cloud computing, even though it's been done.
Mainframe computing. Mainframe.
Yeah. Let's do that. We can call it a new type of storytelling, but beginning, middle, and end. I like that.
See, if we go down to the characters, you've got the Will Warren Robinson character, yeah? And this is how I judge a child character actor, yeah? Do they annoy me? If they don't annoy me, they're doing a good job. Guess what? Doesn't annoy me.
No, they
He's
don't.
Doing a good job.
Yeah.
They actually cast a really good kid to play the Will Robinson character. I'm hoping that
I like Will. I like the middle sister. She's quite cool. She's kind of irritating at times, but that's her character. Penny. That's not the actor.
No, she's supposed to be that the middle kid who's...
Yeah. But she's kind of cool. I like the dad. I do. I like him.
This is the thing that got me, right? Let's go through the characters. She got the dad that's played by Toby Stevenson, who I reckon would make a great evil physical kind of master character in Doctor Who.
Yes.
Him as the master in Doctor Who, but someone who's willing to like throw punches and stuff, yeah, would be fucking fabulous. Yeah. His character I have so much fucking sympathy for. It's ridiculous, yeah. It's like the mum's in charge. But the mum isn't in charge. You've got him. He's a Marine. He's had survival training. He's been in combat situations. He's led people. Yeah. He is overqualified for the fucking job. But somehow, the mum, who's taught geology, is in charge. It's like, can you pilot the ship?
He can. He can pilot the ship. He can pilot the ship.
No, the wife.
Yeah, he pilots the ship.
Wife.
She can't.
Can you pilot the ship? Can you plot a course? Can you fix the ship? Yeah, yeah. Can you contribute something rather than snide comments? Because this is the bit that really got me. Is there's a scene, I don't know if it's towards the end of the first episode, where he's out on manoeuvres, yeah, and he gets a call from her, and he's like, oh, you know, are we talking? Blah blah blah, and she gives him custody. She wants custody papers of the kids.
Yeah,
so she's going to take the kids away. To the other side of the fucking universe, for all intents and purposes. I know the storyline works out there on the other side of the universe, but from their perspective, known universe, yeah? And he's supposed to be okay with that. Fuck off.
No,
that
I think...
That makes her a real horrible person.
Well, during these flashbacks, I think what... We haven't seen this yet, because, I mean, I'm on episode 5. I think what's happened is she... The only people that could become colonists were families. And we already know that she is going to, she wanted to divorce him. So I think she somehow said, look, in order for our kids to get a better life, a better future, blah, 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 whatever, you have to come with us. So I think she somehow coerced him into coming along.
Yeah, but from his perspective, yeah, she didn't say that when they had that conversation. They never put that across in the scene. Yeah.
Well, no, we haven't had that scene yet.
But they should have put that across in that scene, because I was okay with the mum up until that point. Yeah, I could understand them having their differences. That's fine. I get that. People have differences. People argue when relationships break down. But to take the kids away, and I mean properly take the kids away like that.
To Alpha fucking Centauri. That's,
that's the bitchiest fucking thing you can do.
Yeah.
That seriously is the bitchiest thing you can do. So how the hell am I supposed to like the mum when she's done that? That's the worst thing. If she turned around and said, look, we're all going, That includes you. Yeah. And because of your military service, you're pre-qualified. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the other so you've got that. So you got the dad character Pomotosi. Maybe he's done something to be an arsehole or something later on. We'll find out in the story, which I don't want because I like him. I genuinely like him. Yeah. And I'm hoping that it just, that was the only bit we get of her being bitchy in the character, the writers and stuff, drop that whole part of it. Yeah. And we never come back to that because that's horrible. And the other thing too is Judy. Who's her fucking dad or mum?
Yeah, yeah. Now, that is something that they're kind of not saying, are they? And they're not, but it's kind of like the elephant in the room, isn't it?
It is the elephant in the room. It's like, if it was your dad's first wife or your mum's first husband, can we get an explanation of that? Because otherwise, it's just like, I'm sorry, genetics doesn't work like that. You're going to have to tell us who it is, yeah?
It is like they're purposefully avoiding it. It's like, hang on. Don't want to sort of be rude or anything. She's black. Or at least half she's black. Half. Can you kind of explain what's going on here? Because we can all see it. It's kind of a very visual thing. And what's going on?
And see, again, I liked her character. Up until the bit where she went down the ice and then she got stuck and then she started to moan.
Yeah. And
I'll be honest with you, that's more forgivable than the mum. Yeah. That means I'd only dislike that character for a certain period of time. And then when she's sitting there and she's stuck in the ice and she's chatting away to Penny and she's going, I've got any trashy novels and stuff like that. She started warming back up. I started warming back up to her.
And you will warm up to her more. I mean, she has PTSD attacks, and you warm up to the dad even more because the dad can see it and the mum can't. And the mum's just been a cow. And the dad's like, oh, hang on.
Great.
The military dad can see what's going on here. And he's like, look, give her a break. And there's a bit where sort of, without going too much into it, too many spoilers, there's a bit where the ship sinks more into the ice and she gets trapped behind some things and she has a PTSD attack, but she gets herself out of it and that kind of...
So she's got like claustrophobia based on...
Yeah, she gets a bit...
Which makes sense.
She redeems herself slightly. The mum, so far, doesn't.
She didn't need to redeem. That's the thing. It's like kind of, I think Hollywood keep on going on about writing fucking strong female characters. Yeah, there's writing strong female characters and there's writing people who are villains. She is a villain more than the fucking Dr. Smith character.
The Dr. Smith is rubbish. And if you read any of the early reviews, they all criticize Parker Posey. Sorry, that name bugs me.
I'll be honest with you. I saw her and I've seen her in other things. And I don't think I'm going to have a problem with her being Dr. Smith.
You might.
Well, it depends how well it's done. Because I'll be honest with you, the Dr. Smith in the original TV show was irritating as fuck. And the only person who ever did the Dr. Smith character any justice was Gary Oldman.
Yep, I knew that was coming.
When he had that when he did the thing, because it's one of those things, you put Gary Oldman in anything, he'll act his bollocks off. He always gets his money. Well, you always get your money's worth out of him when you hire him for a job. But I to be honest with you, I like the idea that there was a Dr. Smith and she just took his place. I like that.
So well, that was Dr. quite Smith, good, so but more interesting. I just, this isn't me being anti-feminist. This isn't me being saying, the thing. But the thing is, we have seen traditional male roles in reboots being reversed as women. And in BSG, it kind of worked with Starbuck. But
Boomer was confusing as fuck.
Sorry?
Boomer.
Yes.
Boomer was a black guy. Yeah?
Yes, that was a confusing
skinny aging
one.
Bird. That confused me. That was between Boomer and Ty. It's like, now, Ty was a black guy with the biggest fucking afro I've ever seen on TV.
Yeah.
Yeah?
And he was cool.
But he was cool.
Mm.
He was one of those people that is like kind of, after Adama, it's fucking me. Yeah, I'm going to make sure that we're fine. I'm going to make sure that we're looked after, and I'm going to do what's best for us. And that's the feeling you got from that character. They wrote him, and the guy, kind of radiated that out. And then you got Ty, the old white guy, who seemed very, oh, fuck this shit. I'm going to have a drink.
Well, that was his character.
It worked in the long run. The whole thing worked out. But when I first saw it, my brain was just like, "Don't you fucking dare! Oh, you did. You ruined one of my. That was one of my characters I liked."
We've done the male female reversal thing quite a bit, and I don't know. I just at the moment I find her quite irritating. And very not that villainy. She's not quite as bad as Merlin's Morgana, but she is. She is on the fucking way. I'm telling you, she is that kind of cliche baddie, evil. She's just irritating. And the name, I don't know why. I'm sorry, people. I'm sorry if you're offended by my offense at this, but the name Parker Posey just bugs me.
I'll be honest with you, she was probably in the thing to fill out her actor union card, and she saw a Posey and a Parker Co, and she just put the two the fucking together. Yeah. Do you know who I like, actually saying that? If I were to cast that role, Dr. Smith, who would I cast? I'd probably cast David Tennant because of Kilgrave.
David Tennant could do it. I think there's several people, depending on what way you want to go with the role. If you want to go slightly sinister, there is one guy I think that could be quite an interesting young Dr. Smith, but I don't know. The guy that the Jerome, not the Joker, after the latest Gotham twist. Sorry, spoilers, people. There is a twist coming for the Joker in Gotham.
Seen it already.
Have you seen the latest episode?
It's all over my fucking Google feed, so well done, fucking Google, for ruining the fucking twist.
But the lad that plays Jerome could be quite a good Dr. Smith. He's a good actor. Mm. He could do it, but I think David Tennant as Dr. Smith would be very interesting. But we've got David Tennant playing, who's in Terry Pratchett's Damien thing. What's it called? Terry Pratchett's... He wrote Good Omens.
Okay.
David Tennant's in that, and he looks... That's why he's sporting ginger hair at the moment. Because of the character he's playing in that. Sinister.
So we get back to the character. We got West. Bit mercenary.
Yes.
Kind of like it. Because in the original show, I always got the impression that you had West and Robinson, the two kind of captain people. They kind of butted head, but they were supposed to be Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin.
Yeah.
Yeah, that kind of feeling that they were supposed to be those people because of the moon landings and all that stuff. I probably get it wrong. They probably fucking filmed it before the moon landings. But as a kid, that's the impression that it gave me. And it was, I kind of like his character. He's a bit cocky. He's a bit survivally. Like he fits in that kind of model. And then it turns into what's the dynamic you'll have with the Judy character, because there was a big thing in the TV show and the film, about that. The robot, I really like what they've done with the robot.
It's interesting. There's more to come out of that.
Yes, I love. I think that they're setting up lots of mysteries and stuff, and I'm hoping they do the play a mystery, pay it off. Play a mystery, pay it off. Rather than play a mystery, we'll hang it out for 8 seasons and then never gets paid off like in fucking Lost.
I think that's part of the reason they went, let's do flashbacks because we can slowly reveal the... But actually, you've already done that. You've done that in the second episode or third episode, whenever it was, when you revealed that the robot was the reason that the Resolute, whatever they're calling it, the mothership thing crashed because a robot that looks remarkably like Will Robinson's robot went batshit crazy in there and started killing everybody. Well, that's the reveal. There is nothing more you can do in flashbacks, really, that's going to be as revealing as that. Hence, I know I keep going banging on about this, but it's bugging me, this flashback style storytelling.
I'm not too fussed by the whole flashback things. As I said, the robot character is interesting. In the guy in the suit, whatever they've done, looks good. Yeah, it doesn't give me the feeling that it's a guy in a suit as much as other things do. I think it's the glowing faceplate.
It's very clever.
Because you kind of look into the glowing faceplate. Do you know what the series reminds me of? Did you ever play Mass Effect Andromeda?
No. Is it that?
If the beginning of Mass Effect Andromeda, pretty much the fucking same.
Right.
There's an Ark ship, and it's coming to the planet, what they call like one of their golden worlds, yeah? As it comes to golden world, it gets snagged in this weird shit, and then they go to land on the planet, and then lots of disasters happen. Unfortunately, they come across like an evil alien race. But the robot reminds me of a Geth. Remember the Geth?
Yeah, I do remember what you're talking about, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It looks like a Geth, but with a bigger face hole. It's probably so the actor's got somewhere he can see out of.
I like the fact that I like what they're doing with the robot. I like that they've gone that way, and I like they're doing something different to the 1960s series. Don't get me wrong. I don't dislike this. I don't. I am into it, and I'm going to carry on watching it. It's past my 4-episode rule. There are things that irritate me about it.
No. My 4-episode rule.
Your 4-episode
rule. All right, then you can say the
4-episode rule. The 4-episode rule. It's past it. So I'm going to continue to watch it. I don't think the Dr. Smith character is any good. At the moment, I'm agreeing with the reviews, which is not, and the critics, which is not something very often. I do quite like the dynamics that are going on between the Robinson family. The wife really does need to do something to redeem herself because she's a bit of a cow. And we need to know why she's like that, what motivates her, or she's just going to be a bit of a bitch. Sorry. We need some more explanation there, and I hope that comes. I think the fact that there are other people on the planet other than the Swiss family Robinson is interesting. I'm hooked enough to continue to watch it.
Yeah. The things I like about it is it seems a mystery.
Yes.
That they've crashed on an alien world, and it genuinely feels like an alien world.
And the world looks awesome.
Yeah, and the world looks awesome. And the alien things
are pretty damn good on it.
Sorry?
The production values are pretty impressive.
Yeah. And it does have that kind of, it's got a bit of gloss on it and whatnot, but it is making me ask questions about what's going on, where are they, how they get here. They got pulled through a wormhole, we found out. So something happened.
Yeah.
And the robot was either trying to wipe everyone out or trying to stop them or do something, and they got pulled through a wormhole. Now, I think there was a weird, I remember a weird kind of like spaceship that kind of opened up like that in the original black and white show. And I'm fucked because now I can't remember any of it.
But I also like how they reference the old show a lot and the music and everything. That's pretty good.
But the music's pretty good too. Yeah, it's a good show, and it's worth a watch.
Yeah.
That's my it is at the moment. It's a recommendation to go and watch it. Watch 4 episodes. Don't like it after 4 episodes. Turn it fucking off. But I think it'll hold by. The Smith character is a little worrying. The West character's fine. The mum is worrying. The daughter. The Judy character was worrying. She redeemed herself pretty quick in my book in the second episode. And now Keith's telling me we should now have fucking sympathies and whatnot for her because she's going to be freaking out that she's going to be crushed in ice, which is cool. So I can't wait for the West to catch up with him because I haven't got as far as you. But that's cool. I want to talk about Far Cry 5.
Yeah, so is it any good?
Yes and no.
Yes, I know. Well, that doesn't help.
There's some bits and elements of it which don't feel as tuned as it did in Far Cry 4. I don't know if they've done that intentionally, because I got some perks, and then all of a sudden the gunplay seemed a bit more tuned up, and I think that was one of the reasons, is you have to get a perk in order to make the gunplay feel the way it is.
But you're not climbing up towers all the fucking time now, are you?
You've got 3 towers in there that you have to take care of, but you don't climb up.
Activision game,
you mean Ubisoft?
No. Yes, that's what I meant. Seriously? I'm getting bored of tower climbing. Come on, come up with something a bit more original.
I'll be honest with you, it makes me feel like it's Fallout, because there are so many bunkers and hidden locations which are like buried into the sides of mountains and under garages and grain silos and whatnot. It feels very Fallout-esque.
Do they still have some kind of helicopter thing that we can fly around in and fall out?
We get proper helicopters with guns on.
Oh, awesome.
But this comes with, and planes too with guns on.
Can we do some Let's Play Blandies where we, you know, we pretend to be? Can you put your, make sure your chairs are in the upright position and your trays are tucked in? Welcome. Kiss your ass. Yeah, goodbye.
What was it? Stick your head between your legs and kiss your ass. Goodbye.
Welcome to Lamo Airlines. I shall be your pilot today. Put your head in between your legs and kiss your ass goodbye. If you don't know what we're talking about, me and Gareth did a series of videos on Far Cry 4 because we were bored. So we did multiplayer and we played it very badly. So we called it Let's Play Badly. And it is very amusing. Well, we think so.
Well, I think so. It's just me yelling abuse at you. The first couple of videos are me yelling abuse at you because I didn't have your audio on there.
What the fuck are you doing? That's when I fell off the truck. I was quite. What the fuck are you?
Come back! No, I'm walking off the truck. Come back!
The mission is to be on the truck and blow shit up. Oh.
Yeah, that was amusing. This game is it's good. The bad guys, you get like four bad guys instead of your one pagan min, and I like pagan min.
He was quite an interesting bad guy, yeah.
He was a good bad guy. And Troy Baker, who did the voice of Pagan Min, really kind of hammed it up. He's like, Ajay, because why so violent? Why can't we just get along? I never liked them anyway. Come meet me. Yeah, stuff like that. And he's, no one's as good as the Vass character from the third one. Did you ever play the third one?
Was the third one the African one?
No, the second one was the African one.
What was the third one?
Third one was, I think it's South China Seas with the pirates.
No, I think I must have missed out on that one.
You had one of the best video game bad guys ever. This guy, it starts off and you are some kids and you've gone skydiving. And you've got blown, of course, and you've wound up on this island that's controlled by these pirates. And the leader of the pirates, this is just the pirates, yeah, is a guy called Vass. And this guy, the actor, he's in, Better Call Saul? He's, I can't remember who he is in the fucking Better Call Saul. He's like, Saul has to escort the guy from the, no, not Saul, Mike has the dealings with a guy who's selling drugs from his pharmaceutical company.
Oh, the nerdy guy.
And he has to go and meet the guy he meets is in charge. He's the one who plays Vass. Does an absolute brilliant thing. He tries to kill you several times. Yeah, and there's a bloody really good fucking twist in it. Because he starts off and he kills your brother. Yeah. And if you listen to the description of the brother versus the other brother, you think that the game would be about the older brother. Because the older brother is like, he's a former Marine. He's come out on holiday with you, where you are a college scrote who's just taken off a holiday and whatnot. Yeah. So he kills his brother and you're like, Christ, he's the one with all the skills. He's the one who could get us out of this situation. And then you as a character, you start descending into madness. You have an option at the end to kill your friends because you descend into fucking madness because of all this shit that happens to you. He tries to kill you, you escape. He then tries to kill you again and you escape. You then go to try and kill him, yeah? And he sets this fucking awesome trap up for you. And if the third one comes out, I'll try and video it so you can just see it. But he sets up this fucking awesome trap for you because you're like kind of, oh, we'll get this. I think it's like a weapons convoy or something, yeah? And you think you've got the drop on him. Yeah, but he's got the fucking drop on you. And he does this thing, and he keeps quoting Einstein, yeah, where every time he meets you, because a man who goes much smarter than me told me, goes, do you know what the definition of insanity is? Because it's doing the same thing again and again, expecting different results. And it's the way he delivers the line. I can't do any fucking justice in comparison to this guy. But you've not got, though, that him and Pagan Min are not the kind of standout characters. You've got Faith, you've got John Seed and Jacob Seed, and then you've got the guy they call the father. The guy that plays the father looks like a very intense Jared Leto kind of actor, and you haven't had much dealings with him. But while you're wandering around this countryside, you're finding out that the bosses, that these people, these three lieutenants, are hiding out in like nuclear bunkers. or nuclear missile silos, like empty nuclear missile silos. And I'm reaching the conclusion, I haven't completed it yet, I'm almost about the third guy done. I think he's got a fucking nuke and he's going to destroy that part of Montana, because he keeps talking about the end of times and the collapse is coming soon and this blah, blah, blah. I think he's got a fucking nuke and he's going to try and detonate it.
That could be a pretty good twist.
If he has, I'd be like... and if he has, they've done a good job of kind of pointing you towards
it. Will it be a double fuck moment, Gareth?
Oh, double fuck. Do I cut the green wire or the not so green wire? Who fucking made these things?
I'll tell you what, that we were talking about that double fuck thing. This was when Gareth played the Silent Hill demo that never was. That game, can you imagine doing that in VR? That would just completely fucking shit you up.
You haven't seen me and Nige play Resident Evil in VR, have you?
No, I haven't.
Oh, well, that's as close as you're going to get to it. I'll tell you one thing that VR has, which you do not get in games, is the ability to poke your head out and look around. You can stand in the door and lean forward. Sorry, I'm leaning forward without moving my mic. Lean forward and like look down the corridor. And it's like, there's nobody here. It looks safe. Let's move. So it's a good game. The fighter mechanics for when you're having a dog fight. So when you're going plane to plane in it is a bit janky. The chopper mechanics kind of work a little bit better.
I truly think VR will take off. I don't think it's ready yet for the mainstream, but I do think we're going to kind of have a Ready Player One moment. I don't think it'll be quite as bad as Ready Player One, but I do think VR isn't as dead as people think it might be.
I've got VR and I've used VR and I don't think it's going to take off because it's uncomfortable.
Yeah, no, that's the thing. At the moment it is.
Yeah, but I've got
I don't think the technology is there yet to have a headset that is as light. But, you know, if, for instance, right, if you could make a headset like those drone racing goggles, not the DJI ones, the little, I think the something shark, Fat Shark, I think they're called, make these drone racing goggles, and they're tiny little things, right? And they look very much like the Ready Player One headsets. You put those on, they don't feel heavy. You can sit down and race. I've done some drone racing with these goggles on, and you don't notice them after 5 minutes. They don't fog up like a VR headset does. The trouble is with VR at the moment is it's too clunky and it's too heavy. But if you can get it down...
It's not the weight, because the Sony one on my head, I could wear that thing all day on my head. That was fine. It's the having the screens about two centimetres away from your eyeballs is the bit that I find uncomfortable.
But that's partly resolution. It's partly how they're doing it. It makes you feel a bit nauseous. But again, there is technology out there. It's just too damn expensive yet to make consumer. But I have seen, like, they can produce these really small headsets. And, okay, they can't do what they do in Ready Player One, where they literally project it onto your eyeball, which is how they do it in Ready Player One. But we're not that far away from that technology. And I don't think VR that is there yet, but I don't think it's dead. I think it's in its second age, if you like.
I don't think it's dead either. I think it's that eyeball problem. Yeah, so as soon as you can figure out how to do it.
The thing for me, yeah, it's the eyeball problem for you, and it's the weight of the headset and it's fogging up for me. But by God, when I was playing that X-Wing mission, and I'm thinking, you know, if you can improve the screen that doesn't make me feel so nauseous, and you can put it's the frame rate and everything that's going on there that's doing it.
But the frame rate's on its fine. It's 120 hertz.
Yeah,
because Sony looked into it and they went, well, what's the comfortable thing for eyes? It's 120 hertz. See, the thing is that when you hear of a headset that is 5K and 120 hertz, that is the point that VR is not going to improve anywhere past that. The reason I say that, the 5K, is that there's a guy online where he's showing like cinema pictures and TV pictures and stuff, and he said anything over 5K, you can't tell the difference from.
Yeah, that's just true.
Yeah, as soon as you hit 5K, you can't tell the difference. Ironically, 5K is roughly the same data as you get from 35mm film. Is it 35mm film they used to film films on? Whatever they used to film actual pictures on, because it had enough data in there to do it. I don't think it's there yet.
No, I don't think it's there yet, but I think it does have a future. I fucking love that X-Wing mission. I do. I just think, oh God, I wish this headset was just that bit better for me. And I would be just immersed in this. You see, the thing is, you read Ready Player One, and you listen to this kid, and having done your VR, I can really understand why the kid gets lost in the Oasis. And you're like, yeah, I can see this. I can see why VR is dangerous, but it's just not there yet. But you know some fucker's going to improve the technology, and once they've done it, every fucking gamer in the world is going to be doing it, because it's what we want.
You've just reminded me, I need to check up on Ace Combat. Because that's the reason I bought a VR headset, is so I could sit in a plane and pretend that I'm a pilot.
Yeah, but no, I get it. Because I fucking love the X-Wing mission. That's the whole reason I do it. You know, I fucking love it. I get it.
That's apart from being parked on the ground, yeah, that's the only chance I'm ever going to get to sit in an F-22, considering how fucking expensive they are.
I mean, I do. I love it. I've been playing a lot of Splatoon 2 again, because it's the only game that I can actually fucking win at, because I actually play the damn game. I don't just go in there and start shooting everybody. I actually ink everywhere, and that's how I get my points. So I usually win the rounds, and I'm still playing it. I'm ranking quite well as well. I'm ranked for once. I'm ranked.
Your rank.
Comparatively low, but I'm still the highest ranking I've ever had. I'm in the top 10,000. I am 9,900 and something, but I am in the top.
He's in the top. He's a top wanking expert. All right. Okay. Far Cry 5, you'll like it. They've got, there's a diabetic bear in it called Cheeseburger.
Diabetic bear?
Which is funny. Yeah, I know. There's a randy old lady who flies a fucking helicopter. She's quite useful if you need to take out lots of kind of vehicles and whatnot. There's a pilot in there. There's a woman with a bow and arrow. There's another woman with a bow and arrow. Reminds me of Quiet from fucking Metal Gear Solid. It's like, what happened to Quiet after Metal Gear Solid? She moved to Montana, and like 20 years later, part of a militia to try and take care of these people. That's what it kind of looks like. It's a good game. There's no two ways about it. It's a good game. I bought all the DLC with it, because if you've seen the DLC for Far Cry 5. Have you not seen it? They've got a Vietnam DLC. So you get to go and do Far Cry in Vietnam. There's a Martian DLC. So you get to do it on Mars. And the thing is, I'm finding little bits of evidence of these in the games. Yeah. So I'm picking up these Vietnam war comics and bits, and Martian comics too. And I met a guy who's like, oh, aliens. It's like, oh, you're going to be the fucker to deal with. And then you've got, you're going to have a zombie DLC. Oh, along with Far Cry 3 as DLC.
That's pretty good.
And it's I saw that and I was like, would I pay that for that and remastered or a re-release of Far Cry 3? And I was like, done.
Yeah. Yeah. You got PS4 Slim. You didn't go for the Pro, did you?
Nah, I didn't think it was worth it, considering that the PS5 is around the corner, apparently. So
rumors.
I imagine that they put out, when it comes to PS5, I imagine that what they've done is they've gone and issued all the developers the dev kits, yeah, and they're going through like a 6-month period where this is what Mark Cerny, the one that you find creepy, refers to time to triangle, to find out how quickly they can assemble a game engine on these things, and then what problems they have, so they can do a bit of fine tuning. Plus, they'll be looking at the budgetary constraints of it. It's like, oh, I put this processor in it. That's going to cost us a bomb. We need to put 16 gigs of RAM in it minimum now this time, rather than 8 gigs and so forth and so on. I think that the rumours about the PS5 development kits are there, but they're going through the build the game engine stage, see how the game engines perform. Can we do anything? If we can do something, we'll do something. Yeah. If we can't do something, we can't do something. And they're going to finalise the spec. And then February next year is when you'll hear them. They'll come out with the announcement and say, PS5's on the way, September, year after.
The only reason I find Mark Cerny creepy is because he has a bloody haircut like he's still in college.
Yeah, he's...
Seriously, I'm going to show you a picture. Look, you Google him and that's what comes up. Tell me that doesn't look fucking creepy.
No, that picture is creepy because he's doing the chin down, eyes up. He looks like he could play the Joker, actually, in that picture.
He's a fucking 40-year-old with a college with a haircut like he's still in college. Pretty American.
Just the worst thing is, he's fucking minted. Do you know how much money he's got in his bank accounts?
Of course he is. Ridiculous. He's the brainchild of Sony, the Sony PlayStation. If he hasn't, then he's doing something wrong.
Yeah. It's like, can't you afford all that money? Can't you afford a fucking haircut? You can talk Japanese. You can talk Japanese. You can code in about 8 different languages. You know how to assemble a system together and all of this bits, yeah? You used to build arcade machines from scratch as a kid, yeah? And you can't get a fucking haircut. Seriously, Mark, get a haircut.
Yeah.
I will pay I'll pay money to charity. Get a haircut. Do you want to hear about a complete fucking disaster on Twitch?
Oh, please tell me. Please, this sounds like right. PC bollocks that's gone completely back in their face.
Oh, it's feministing, fisting.
Oh, wonderful.
Right, okay. So, do you remember, I think it was when in our previous incarnation when we first started up, you had that Gamergate controversy, and just before the Gamergate controversy, you had this... Women get harassed online whilst playing video games.
Yeah,
and our answer to this was, not just her, it was more the kind of media thing. And our answer to this was, do what we do, put everyone on fucking mute. Yeah? Just stick everyone on mute, because I play for Call of Duty. I don't want to hear anyone. Yeah? I just want to hear the, incoming helicopter. Yes, I've got a helicopter, or radar available, or shit like that. And they were trying to say that women got really harassed online, and then they tried to make out that 50% of gamers were women, but they didn't divide it down to say 50% gamers are women if you include mobile and Facebook games, because women play mobile and Facebook games a lot.
Yeah,
so they're gamers in that respect. But console games is the kind of core, I will describe them, rather than hardcore, core gamers and stuff. So some genius somewhere came up with this idea, what they refer to as bully hunters. And the idea was that apparently 21 million women, yeah, online get harassed, sexually harassed, they added. And it was based on a survey with an incorrect sample size and an incorrect group. If you want to know how sample sizes work, go to SurveyMonkey. And then say like, the population of gamers is this, so 21 million. Yeah. And then Terry goes, what do I need as a relative sample size? It's definitely not 834 of your close friends on Twitter and Facebook. This is where the survey data came from. They fucked all of that up. Yeah. Then they were trying to demonstrate this tool that they had. It's like kind of, oh, a woman goes online in games, goes in with 5 minutes of playing a game on Counter-Strike Go, and she's getting harassed by someone. And then this person harassing her. It's like, okay, fair enough. It's been a bit of a cock. Mute. Oh, you can't mute. All right, fair enough. We will call in the bully hunter. And it's like, okay. And so she sends a message from a computer to this person. So bully hunter 77 turns up. Goes, oh, okay, bully hunter 77. So who's bullying you? Oh, it's this person's bullying me. Okay, fair enough, yeah? So the idea is that they're supposed to be an elite group of gamers, yeah, who go in there and have to shoot them.
They gang the up person. On the dude. In the game.
Yeah, well, no. It's especially like one at a time, right? And it's like, okay, fair enough. So this guy came online. He went after this person, and I only saw some of the, I haven't seen it in entirety. This is like pretty secondhand, all right? He got his ass kicked by the fucking guy who's harassing. So this elite gamer came in and just epic fail. Live on Twitch. Supposed to go on for an hour. It lasted 35 minutes. So anyway, that happened. And then people, as they do, the power of autism and the internet combined caused people to start looking into it, yeah? And they looked into this, the person who was supposed to be the bully hunter, and they found their ID, and they found out that their ID was the same as the person doing the harassment. So it was set up. And here comes the funny thing, yeah? Because if you play Counter-Strike Go, don't quote me on this, yeah? Apparently, you can only hear team chat from your team. So how did this person harass this person, considering you can't hear team chat, unless you're on something like Discord or Ventrilo or any of those sort of things? Mm-hmm. This thing just crashed and burned fucking epically. I need to go into it, do a bit more research so I can tell you guys about it next week to see if anything more comes of this, but
I
no idea what they're fucking thinking.
I got myself a bit of a feminist troll this week, and I won the argument, by the way. I just want to point this out.
Was this Facebook or droning?
No. Well, it wasn't Facebook. It was a Facebook story. So in Thailand, because as you know, I live in Thailand, we have Thai New Year. And basically what it is, which is now basically a 5-day, it used to be only 3, a nationwide water fight. No word of a lie, it is a nationwide water fight. You go out on a motorbike in these 5 days, you're going to get wet because there's going to be some fucker on the side of the road chucking ice cold water over you.
Keith, why didn't you tell me that? I would have invested my money in water pistols.
Oh, dude, we've got hundreds of them.
Seriously, the people buying water pistols, the money you can make out of that shit.
It's phenomenal. Anyway, so somebody in the Thai government basically said to the women, if you don't want to be harassed, don't dress sexy. Now, in the world of Me Too campaigns and all this shit, you can imagine how that went down. And I got really fucked off with it. Because look, and I'm going to say this, and I'm probably going to be hated by every feminist, but it's fucking true. Whether I want to say categorically that if you harass a woman, it is wrong. If you harass anybody, it's wrong, right? If you sexually grope someone, it is categorically wrong. In an ideal world, it will never happen. But we do not live in an ideal world. And if you wear a light t-shirt and you don't put a bra on, or if you put a sexy, frilly little bra on, and you go out and get in a water fight, you are going to get attention, whether you like it or not. And in an alcohol-filled thing where everybody's pissed, there is going to be that one guy, whether we like him or not, who is going to go grabby grabby. Now, if you're in a white see-through t-shirt with a black fucking lacy bra on, what does that say to the dickhead that's going to grope you? It's going to say, please grope me. So somebody saying, don't wear like that, isn't saying it to quell your rights. He's trying to fucking save you. Because you don't live in a world where we're all wrapped up in bubble wrap and cotton fucking wool. And I said this, and I got lambasted by the feminists. I said, but we don't live in an ideal world.
Just a quick one. Is that a confession? Described it in very good detail, like you were recalling a memory.
No, I'm not, but I know what I've seen. There are so... Last year, we went down to our town, we joined in the fun, and there are a number of girls there wearing not very much. And I'm and they must have been about 17 or 18. And I'm thinking, you're asking for trouble. I'm sorry. I know it's wrong. I do. I acknowledge that. But we don't live in an ideal world. And when there is alcohol involved, especially in Thailand, you're asking for it. And I think people that genuinely say this, not to try and take your rights away, not to try, they're just trying to make sure you don't get groped. They're not doing anything wrong, so shut the fuck up having a go at them. Because they're not trying to take your rights away. They're not trying to tell you how to dress. They're simply trying to stop you getting groped because you don't live in an ideal world and we can't control these fucking wankers that do it.
It's kind of like the stop and search thing.
Mm.
Yeah, where in London they stop the stop and search thing. Yeah, and it's like kind of, if you don't want to be stopped and searched, don't dress up like a gangster. Gangsters are notoriously criminal. So who are the police going to look at? That's conspicuous 101. Yeah? I think that, you know,
there was the Me Too campaign generally got involved in this and started going, you go, sister, and everything. You're going, oh, God, Jesus Christ. You're sitting there going, I don't believe this, because you all think we live in an ideal world. You all live in a world where you think you're wrapped in cotton wool and that you can do what you like, and that because it's wrong, it's not going to happen. Because you say it's wrong, it's not going to happen. And I'm afraid it doesn't work like that. It doesn't mean. And then I got accused of being one of these. You're condoning it. No, I'm fucking not. If I saw somebody doing it, I'd kick the living shit out of them. Because I think it's utterly wrong. And I pushed a guy when we were down there last year because I saw him getting handsy with a girl. And I pushed him off.
It's just a case of being sensible, yeah?
Yeah.
You don't. It's like in New York, you don't go out to fucking Central Park in the middle of the fucking night when there's no one around because something might happen.
Yeah.
It's one of those things. On another note, do you ever play Splinter Cell?
Oh, now that was the one with the green goggles.
Yeah, Sam Fisher, voiced by Mike Lyons,
I did,
the original
very, very long time ago.
And you played Metal Gear, yeah?
Oh, I played Metal Gear with you. I went and bought you Metal Gear Solid 2 on the PlayStation 2 at 12 o'clock at night because I'm a nice person.
Yes, which you'll never let me forget, and you always repeat on the podcast every opportunity you get.
Yep.
There was a little Easter egg that they put in the latest Splinter Cell game, which is a reference to Metal Gear. Yeah, and it's Sam Fisher, and he's talking to whatever his colleague's name is because they keep fucking changing it. And he asks, can't you send someone out on this mission? She asks, can't you send someone else out? He turns around and goes, no. He goes, there was another guy. He goes, he used to wear a bandana. He goes, he's pretty good at his job. He's now retired. And then the character, and it's a beautiful animation. I'll send you the link after, yeah? The character turns around and looks, and he has this, like, 30-yard stare. And he goes, it's only me. And it looks really sad. And it's really well done. And it was one thing I watched. It was like, oh, they did a tribute to Metal Gear Solid. Usually things are a bit shit, yeah? It's like there was they put a reference to Sam Fisher and the guy from Siphon Filter in Snake Eater. He goes, can't you send Sam or Gabe or someone else to go and do it? He's like, no, it's you. And it's just really good with the character. The animation's got so much better now. And he looks and his eyes are like kind of like glassy, you know, when you're tired. And it just goes, it's only me. And I thought that was really cool. I just found that, like, it's one of those things you're kind of like, oh, I feel really sorry for you now. Now go climb that radio tower. You're in the Ubisoft game.
Oh, dear. Right. I think we should wrap this up and put a bow on it. Because unless you've got anything else
I've got other stuff, but I'll save it because it's, how can I put it, thoughts not formed properly. So we've got some other bits. The thing about Stanley, did you hear about Stanley?
No.
Apparently Stanley accused his daughter of elder abuse.
Oh, God.
Kevin Smith came out and turned around and goes, look, if that's the case, you can come live with me. I'll look after you. I don't think it's a fact that his daughters were elder abuse. It was a fact that his relatives, coming up to his daughter and asking for money and she's saying no.
Yeah.
And probably. Because she's saying no, they're now making shit up, which I think is the case. He put out it was great because on my feed it turned and goes, Stan Lee puts out angry video. I looked at it. Stan Lee can't get fucking angry if he tried.
No.
I think that's the reason that he's living as long as he is because he can't get angry. Angry people, I think, don't live as long as calm people. I hope it's not true because everybody loves Stan Lee. Stan Lee's like your fictional grandparent.
Oh, Stan Lee's just the legend. You know, he's just phenomenal. The guy went and did that star presentation, I think, 2 weeks after his wife died? The wife that had been by his side for over 50 odd years. Oh, it was phenomenal. But it's funny, he was talking about Kevin Smith. There's a Kevin Smith special. American fans that are listening to this, what is the betting that this is going to get ridiculous ratings? Do you want to know why?
Why?
I'm predicting this. The Kevin Smith stand-up special that's going to be shown on one of the networks, it's going to get ridiculous ratings. Because one hour after it finished filming, he had a heart attack, and it's going to be like
that one all the way back then.
Yeah. Well, no, Kevin, it was only about a month and a half ago. He had this massive heart attack.
Well, he had a heart attack. I don't think it was a massive heart attack.
Oh, it was a major heart attack.
He didn't realize he had a heart attack.
It was, well, yeah, but he was told afterwards it was a major. I mean, he's one of the things was 100% blocked. I mean, it was a major heart attack.
See, that's one of the reasons I run 10K a week now.
They've announced that this is going to be aired. I reckon it's going to get ridiculous ratings, just like the what's its face, the Fast and the Furious film got. It did so fucking well because people are morbid that needed to see the dead guy acting. It's the same fucking thing. People are going to tune in because, like, oh, an hour afterwards, he nearly died. It's going to get huge ratings, and they fucking know it. They're playing on it.
Oh, just a quick one. Did you hear about Ryan Reynolds saying that Deadpool needs to be in the next the Fast and the Furious spin-off with Hobbs?
Yeah,
he's
done loads of things this week, though. He's continually trolling Hugh Jackman and insulting his wife, which was very, very funny.
What do you call it? The Fast and the Furious thing, people were genuinely wanting that to happen. Mm. I hope to God that they do like an Easter egg kind of thing for the DVD or Blu-ray where they have got Deadpool being the chief of police yelling at him for smashing his Toyota, whatever it is.
I want Deadpool to turn up in Guardians of the Galaxy 3. Because now that Disney own Fox, or will own Fox by the time that movie is made, Howard the Duck style fucking Marvel stinger at the end, but you gotta have Deadpool there somewhere.
I've heard a rumor.
Go on.
Did you listen to the podcast last week?
I'm halfway through it. Honestly, I'm halfway through it.
You didn't get to the rumor then, because the rumor is that Hugh Jackman was seen on set.
Oh, yeah, no, I've heard this film on the set of Deadpool 2. Yeah, there was a secret cameo.
No, not
film.
Deadpool 2.
On what?
Not Deadpool 2.
On Avengers?
Infinity War, yeah. When they get to go back and do some reshoots.
No.
They were reshooting and Hugh Jackman was there.
No.
Whether or not he's in the film is another fucking thing entirely.
No, that would be... No.
Yeah, because it's like Doctor Strange, because he can go through universes and stuff, may just go, you'll do.
Oh, that's how they can do it. Oh.
And it'll be in the last scene on Titan.
If you were going to come back as Wolverine after you said you're never going to come back as Wolverine, that would be what you would do.
He said, he would turn around, he said that was the only thing he'd come back for. If he's going to be in a Deadpool, he's going to be a Deadpool film, it's going to be him as Hugh Jackman in a Deadpool
film. Yeah, but that's the joke.
That is the joke.
And I hope he is, because it'll be really funny. It would be really funny.
But that rumour is like kind of, oh, please, please be fucking true. Please be fucking true, for the love of God. That would just top it. Yeah, because we're worried about who's dying. But say they kill off Tony Stark, yeah? But you've got Wolverine, you'd be like, I can live with that.
Yeah, you would be as well. You would be.
Because they talk about people who carry franchises. Hugh Jackman carried fucking X-Men.
Yes.
He's the only one. The only one he wasn't in was the only one he wasn't properly in was in First Class, and I think that worked quite well.
Yeah.
But he had a cameo in.
And his cameo is the best cameo everywhere. Just fuck off.
He loved it. He said it was his favourite scene as Wolverine. He said they managed to distill the character in one fucking sentence.
Yeah, they did, and it was perfect. The perfect cameo. It was the perfect cameo. It so worked. That's why it's the best X-Men film. But anyway.
I've just realised something they could do in Deadpool, which should be really good. Comes up against the bad guy at the end, he turns around and he goes, I've got Wolverine, like that, and Hugh Jackman comes out and he turns around and he goes, I'm not fucking Wolverine, and then he gets hit by a bus or something.
That would be very funny. Right, anyway, until next week, and hopefully we'll have the Big Nige back again next week.
Yeah, alright. Yeah.
All right, that's it.
Layers, potatoes!
See ya. Bye-bye. Thanks for downloading the Monkey Nut Punch podcast.
You can follow us on Twitter at MonkeyNutPunch. You can also find us on Facebook, facebook.com/MonkeyNutPunch.